message is given in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, last Sunday was the first Sunday in Advent and the beginning of a whole new church year. Last Sunday, we learned the meaning of the word Advent, which comes from the Latin language and means to enter or to come into. With that in mind, last Sunday we began my Advent sermon series entitled, He's Coming. And of course, when we hear that title, He's Coming, we immediately think of Jesus, who is coming. In fact, during Advent, we focus on how Jesus has entered our lives in the past, in the present, and also how He will enter our lives in the future. As we prepare to celebrate the birth of Jesus, we get to look back and see how God's promises were fulfilled when Jesus was born to save us from our sins. However, during the first few thousand years of Earth's history, the birth of Christ was actually a future hope rather than a past reality. All throughout Old Testament history, the birth of the Savior was a future hope that had not yet taken place. For example, on the very day that Adam and Eve sinned against God, He then promised to send a Savior into the world. God promised that a male child born of the woman would crush the devil's power. And from that point on, God's people were waiting for the Savior of sinners to come into the world. And over the years, this Savior came to be known by various names and titles. In fact, we learned about one of those names last Sunday. Last Sunday, we heard about the seed of Abraham. This name was eventually given to the promised Savior because He would come from Abraham's family line. In fact, in our gospel reading from Matthew chapter 1, we once again heard the genealogy of Jesus, beginning with Abraham. And Abraham's son was Isaac, Isaac's son was Jacob, and as you heard in our gospel reading, Jacob eventually had 12 sons, and they were the basis for the 12 tribes of Israel, which you probably remember learning about in Sunday school. However, only one of those 12 tribes would end up being the family line through which the Savior would come into the world. And this blessed tribe came to be known as Judah, who was the fourth son of Jacob. Now, toward the end of Jacob's life, we can read that he gives prophecies about each of his 12 sons. And in our Old Testament reading for today, we find Jacob's words about his son Judah. Now, some of these words apply to Judah's immediate future, but some of the other things that Jacob says point ahead to a very, very special descendant of Judah. Listen again to these words. The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs, and the obedience of the nations is his. Here we see that one of Judah's descendants will be a very special person. In fact, this special descendant of Judah would be none other than the promised Savior who would destroy the nations who reject him and rule over the nations who trust in him. In fact, remember last Sunday's Old Testament reading? God said to Abraham, "Through you all nations will be blessed." And now in today's reading, we're told that one of Judah's descendants will receive the obedience of the nations who trust in that promise. In fact, this royal Savior promised in today's Old Testament reading came to be known by another name, the name the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. And that title was based on these words of Jacob's prophecy. You are a lion's cub, O Judah. Like a lion he crouches and lies down. Who dares to rouse him? Now you might wonder how these words apply to Jesus. Well, not only is Jesus a royal savior descended from Judah, but on top of that, the image of a lion describes Jesus very well. I mean, when we think of a lion, we think of the king of beasts, a powerful animal. And all the other animals are intimidated by the lion's strength. Jesus, of course, is God in human flesh. If anybody resembles the image of a lion, it's Jesus. Someone whose power is awesome and before whom everyone cowers. But having said that, you need to know that Jesus is a lion like no other. Let me give you an example. I have a question first. How many of you here are familiar with the famous book written by C.S. Lewis entitled The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe? Raise your hand if you've heard that book. In fact, Disney did a movie on it not too long ago. Well, I don't have time to give you the whole story, so I'll sum up very briefly its essential plot. In this story, four children from this world end up in another world by magic, and this other world is known as Narnia. But when they get there, they find out that Narnia is experiencing a winter worse than anything we've ever had in North Dakota. Why? Because Narnia is being ruled by this evil white witch who keeps the whole kingdom underneath her frozen control. However, as these four children meet some of the citizens of Narnia, they learn about a prophecy. A promise that one day a lion named Aslan would come and destroy the evil witch and free Narnia from her dominion. What a wonderful promise. Three of the four children believe it, but one of them does not. Edmund does not believe in Aslan the lion. So what does Edmund do? Edmund ends up joining the witch's side. At first he thinks this is good because he will be in her favor, but later he finds out how evil she is, and he later regrets his decision. Especially when Aslan shows up. Edmund knew he was guilty of betraying the savior of Narnia. Well, later on, Edmund finds out about the true colors of the White Witch. Later on, the White Witch claims that she has a right to kill Edmund because he is a traitor. Now, the only one who could keep the White Witch from doing this is Aslan, the lion. But you would think that he would simply let her do it, right? I mean, when the White Witch demands that she has a right to kill Edmund because he's a traitor, you would think the lion would say, "Go for it, White Witch. Kill Edmund. See if I care. He betrayed me. Why should I care about whether he lives or dies? He deserves to die." But instead, Aslan the lion does something that the witch or no one else could ever have expected. Aslan offers to be killed in the place of Edmund. Aslan the lion gives his life for the one who betrayed him. I mean, just imagine that. The powerful lion Aslan willingly lays down his life. But for those of you who have read the book, you know the story doesn't end there. Aslan later comes back to life. He then destroys the White Witch and gives freedom to all Narnia. It's a wonderful, wonderful story. No wonder Disney made a motion picture about it. But you have to remember, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, it's just a story. It's make-believe. However, that make-believe story was inspired by a true historical event. The true event when the lion of the tribe of Judah willingly died in the place of people who had betrayed him by their own sin against him. My my friends, Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. A lion like no other. Because the powerful one humbled himself and sacrificed his own life so that his enemies might be forgiven and become part of his kingdom of love. But as you know, death could not hold down the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Jesus conquered death, and that means he lives. And on top of that, he will return one day in power and glory. You see, just as the people throughout the Old Testament were waiting for the first coming of the Lion of the tribe of Judah, we are now waiting for the second coming of the Lion of the tribe of Judah. This fact takes us to our second reading from Revelation chapter 5, where the Apostle John has a vision, and he uses symbolic language to describe the future hope that we have in Jesus. Now, if you want to look in your bulletin, in this reading, John describes his vision of a scroll that no one could open. Now, what does this scroll represent? Well, this scroll symbolizes knowledge about the future. The fact that this scroll is sealed, however, means that no one except God can open it and reveal to us the hope that we need for the future. Now, as John saw this vision of the scroll, he began to weep, because no earthly creature could open the scroll and find out what hope we have for the future. But then, a servant of God says the following to John. He says, "Do not weep. See, the Lion of the tribe of Judah has triumphed. He is able to open the scroll." Did you notice what they called Jesus? The Lion of the tribe of Judah. And the fact that Jesus is able to open the scroll is yet one of many scripture examples of how Jesus is God himself. Next, we're told that the Lion of the tribe of Judah has triumphed. But what has he triumphed over? Well, listen to what John writes. "Then I saw a lamb, looking as if it had been slain, standing in the center of the throne, encircled by the four living creatures and the elders." This was representative of all creation standing before Jesus, the victorious lamb. Now, what does this part of our reading teach us? Well, first, the fact that the Lamb is standing where only God can stand, that's yet more proof that Jesus is God. But secondly, please note that John now calls the Lion a Lamb. Think of it. The powerful Lion of the tribe of Judah was slain like a helpless lamb. Why? Because he had no choice? No. The Lion of the tribe of Judah could have crushed his enemies at any time. Instead, the powerful lion allowed himself to be slain like a helpless lamb, like the lambs that were slain over centuries during Old Testament history. You see, those slaughtered lambs were pictures of Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, who would willingly give his life to save his enemies from their eternal doom. In fact, the next thing we find in John's vision is that all who surround the throne of the Lion of the tribe of Judah, they end up singing a song of worship to him. And this song reminds us of the hope that we have in Jesus. Listen again to their song. "You are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." These words are about Jesus. These words tell us about the seed of Abraham who came into the world to bless all nations. These words tell us about the Lion of the tribe of Judah, who humbled himself like a helpless lamb so that his enemies might be saved and live forever in his kingdom of love. In a little over 2 weeks, we will celebrate Christmas. We will celebrate the fact that God kept his promise to send us a Savior. The Savior known as the Seed of Abraham. The Savior known as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Jesus came into our world in the past to save us from our sin by his own death and resurrection. But the same Jesus also comes to us now. He comes to us now in the waters of holy baptism. He comes to us now through the preaching and teaching of his word. He comes to us now in this very special gift, whereby he gives us his very body and blood in Holy Communion. God uses these gifts to come to us now to nurture our faith in him. But finally, this same Jesus who came in the past and who comes to us now, this same Jesus will come again in the future. The Lion of the tribe of Judah will return in power and glory. He will then crush all who hate him and reject his loving sacrifice. But he will also use his mighty power to give eternal salvation to those who repent and trust in him. At this point, we must remember Edmund. You see, we are all like Edmund in that story by C.S. Lewis. We have all betrayed the Lion of the tribe of Judah by our sins against him. So we are really no better than the people who will end up in hell. The difference is that God uses his word to humble us and to move us to repent of our sin and to trust in Jesus as our Lord and Savior from that sin. The good news I have for you today is that the powerful Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lion who has the power to crush his enemies, this Lion preferred to sacrifice himself to prevent you from being cursed forever by your own sin against him. Jesus, the Lion, is your mighty and powerful Savior. So trust in him. Live for him. One day he will return in power and glory. He will destroy all evil that is opposed to him, but he will bring you who believe into his eternal kingdom of love, and you will reign forever on a new earth that the Lion will create for you on that day. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.